By definition, ambassadors are representatives of their sovereign and their nation. We have the privilege to discuss and represent our sovereign, Jesus Christ, and his kingdom for his glory. Join us as we seek him first. Welcome to Ambassador Talks.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Ambassador Talks. Ambassador Talks exists to glorify God by the pursuing of truth in God's word and applying it to the issues and challenges that are facing the church today. Ambassador Talks is brought to you by Ambassador Baptist Church of Hudson, North Carolina. For more information about the church, visit ambassadorbaptistchurch.org. I'm your host, Matt Baker, and on the mics today with me, as always, is Nathan Phillips and our pastor, Robert Setzer. This week, we take a look at a topic that has been in the news really for months now. It's on the forefront of the liberal agenda as they seek to divide the gender gap, and especially the gender roles gap. Now, we know that this has been happening for years, but lately, the last couple of years, we've seen an offensive against the church proper and the evangelical movement, and also anyone who would even align with the traditional view of the home and marriage, for that fact. So, Nathan, we have a term to describe that as given by a lot of theologians, so we're going to take a look at this subject of complementarianism. Nathan, if you will, introduce this subject for us.
Matt, this is a huge subject for today's time. The issue of really belief system, I guess we could say, of complementarianism versus egalitarianism. Now, we can define those terms. Basically, what you need to know, and as far as just this discussion, this podcast, is complementarianism goes a little like this as far as a traditional view in most conservative churches is going to be that men have a role in the church as far as teaching, preaching, all of that, and that women don't have that role, and there's distinctions made between submission and things like that. Now, we're going to have to define all these terms and talk about them in more detail here in a little bit. And the egalitarian movement, or maybe movement's not the best thing to say, but the egalitarian belief is basically on that men and women have no distinction as far as what roles they can have in the church. Wow. That there is a distinction between men and women. That's not to say that there isn't any. They're not saying that, but they are saying that men and women can hold
equal positions,
equal standing, and all of that. Now, obviously, this is a big point to make, because, Pastor, there's a lot of denominations that allow, or I don't know how exactly to phrase it, but they have women clergy, they have pastors, there's a lot of teachers, preachers, all of this stuff that goes on. So this is a big issue for a lot of people. It's not just, three guys in a room talking about it.
It is a very big issue here in the United States, actually worldwide. And so let me qualify. Let me throw in a statement or two behind Nathan before Matt brings up our next question. Women play a very important role in Christianity.
Yes.
And in the Bible, currently and historically. We think about Mary. We think about Mary Magdalene, who was the first to the tomb. On resurrection morning, she being a woman, there was Lydia in Acts 16. Evidently, the church at Philippi began in her house. There is Priscilla that Paul, in one occasion, Matt, mentions Priscilla before Aquila. You know, he referred to them as my helpers in Christ Jesus. There is Phoebe. There is Junia. And so, my goodness, women play a tremendously important and phenomenal role in the church and in Christianity.
Well, that kind of shuts down that argument of misogyny in the Bible.
Yeah, exactly what we talked about last week.
Absolutely.
Let's get a little deeper into what these terms are. Now, this comes from an article from the gospelcoalition.org, and they're pretty much the ones that coined the term. The woman, at least here, that writes this article helped coin it, and it... You know, say what you want to about terms, but they do help us in describing things. And I know a lot of people don't like labels and things like that, but there's certain times we have to have something to describe our view. But number one, they point out that complementary isn't complementary with an I. That's when you're researching this, don't you know, Google it with an I, Google it with an E, C-O-M-P-L-E. And there's a difference. There is a difference that the distinction here is that something that completes or makes something perfect, either of two parts or things needed to complete the whole. And in other words, they're counterparts.
Absolutely.
And that's an important distinction to make.
Very. Mm-hmm.
Another thing they say is that June Cleaver is not the definition of complementarianism. That's
agree with that.
And that's the thing you hear that they want to beat us over the head with if we say that we are that, because, well, you want the 1950s again, you want this tradition, and you know, men work and come home, prop their feet up, and women cook and vacuum and you know, don't work and raise the kids and all of this stuff. And that's not what we're saying at all. Surely, I'm sure there are the men out there, and I've heard some men say that their wives shouldn't work and, you know, refuse them to and things like that. But that's not what we're talking about.
That's not
the extreme that we're talking about here. They go on for a couple different more points, and four is kind of echoing of what I just said. Complementary does not condone a patriarchal oppression of women, stuff like that. That's not part of, we are not trying to, in this view, keep women down or anything like that. I don't know how else to phrase it.
Well, you know, Nathan, I think one of the things that you're alluding to there too, in these type of discussions, it's very easy for one side or the other to build themselves a straw man,
mm-hmm.
and to paint the other side as just, you know, really evil and of unscrupulous intent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's one of the things you're saying when you're trying to define these things.
Yeah, and we'll talk about a little bit of the opposing, you know, the egalitarian, you know, point here in a little bit, but you know, just to drive home the fact that what we're saying here and what defines this term is basically this. Complementarians believe God designs male and female to reflect complementary truths about Jesus.
Absolutely.
I think that is the crux of the matter here. And you have to get that definition right. And what we're going to be talking about is gender roles, not as something to be maligned or something to be, like, you know, resented. Pastor, there's a lot of hard things in the Bible that we have to take and we have to believe. And,
absolutely.
And you know, you have to be consistent. You can't just pick and choose what your beliefs are. And if they don't match up with what the Bible is saying in this verse, well, I'll make it match. I'll make it, you know, fit my framework. And you can't do that. You have to take God at his character and what he said. He's, after all, the one that wrote it.
That's right. Pastor, you know, unfortunately, this is the culture around us. And, you know, we've seen them seek to redefine things like the home and marriage. And now they're trying to define the literal role of men and women in the world and in the home. Pastor, and we see this parallel itself kind of in the church a little bit now, with some of these articles about equality as far as men and women in ministry. And we were discussing before the podcast, even in pay, as far as for clergy. So why is this important, and how do we take on this issue in,
you know,
church?
Matt, I think one of the ways to look at this is that a lot of people are bad to take what is a popular theme in the culture at any given moment and jump on that and run with it and try to hang a Christian flag around it. You know, and so right now there's an assault against the biblical family. There's no question about that, and it's coming from more than one side. It's coming from every side, just about, and it's a very, very serious assault. The second thing is just pure biblical exegesis, sound hermeneutics. What does the Bible say? To let the Bible speak, without us trying to force interpretations into it or on it.
Right.
And so there's part of the dilemma that we're facing today in our nation.
And when we do that, when we let the Bible speak, we'll see that women are to be celebrated, women are to be loved and cherished and respected, and we see in Ephesians, as Christ loved the church, and as Christ is our leader. I know that in the article that you shared with me from John Piper, he alluded to that example as Christ loves the church, men ought to love the wives as the church, and it's a picture. It's like you said a minute ago.
You know, Matt, one of the metaphors or symbols in the Bible is that the church is referred to as the bride of Christ, mm-hmm. a feminine concept right there. Right. And so I think the Lord God has elevated a woman to a wonderful and glorious position, and how sad when there are some in society, even in Christian society, who somewhat diminish or disdain that.
Well, and that brings up a great segue into what, you know, the next point here is the egalitarian point of view, and that is the case a lot of times, that they've forced a lot of things, and they don't like, you know, the verses where, or I shouldn't say don't like, but they at least form a different opposing view on verses of where men are to love their wives like Christ loved the church, and they say, well, this sacrificial type of love isn't just for men. And that's what Rachel Held Evans is saying here in her article. It was from a couple years ago, but she most certainly holds the same view now, so nothing has changed. She is an egalitarian. She's a popular Christian blogger. I would say on the fringe of the, I don't know if I like to phrase it, the right or left of Christianity, but if I do have to say it that way, just to give people a idea, she's on the left. She is a very, very prominent voice in our society today, and she wants to clear up some misconceptions that we have, or so-called misconceptions that we have about egalitarians. And I defined it a little bit earlier, but her points will probably give you a little bit better idea of what it is. Number one, she says they don't believe that there are any, that egalitarians don't believe there are any differences between men and women. That's a misconception. That's probably true. I mean, obviously she says that biologically men and women are different. Men are sometimes stronger, most of the time stronger, I guess, and physically. And she goes on all these details, and that she's saying that complementarians accuse her of putting the sexes on equal ground as far as there are no differences whatsoever. And, you know, she believes that's a misconception. She believes, you know, the fact that we think they're against traditional gender roles is a misconception. And she defines kind of her traditional stuff. If you guys want to check out the article, it's rachelheldevans.com. The title of the article is Four Common Misconceptions About Egalitarianism. And thirdly, she says that egalitarian marriages suffer from a lack of leadership because of this same standing that they have put on men and women, that the marriage suffers. And she says that's not the case, and she quotes some Bible, and then she goes on to her fourth point and says egalitarians don't take the Bible seriously, which I don't know if anybody really could. Accusing them of that.
You know, and we were talking before the broadcast started, Nathan, that I feel like maybe she's putting some straw men up here just a little bit. Yeah. For example, this one of the comments she referred to is that something about male leadership somehow precludes the washing of dishes, folding laundry, et cetera, et cetera. Listen, I work, my wife works, we both work in the house, mm-hmm. and we both wash clothes, or, mm-hmm. or we both will, you know, help do things on the inside of the house that takes care of them. I'm sure you men are the same way. I've never stood up in our church and admonished our church families and said, you men bring home the bacon, you women, you know, take care of the house and do all the home chores, watch all the children while the men sit in the lawn chair sipping iced tea. That's mm-hmm. that's ludicrous, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and she brings up a lot of, like you said, little straw man arguments, stuff like she references a commenter. I don't know if she was talking about a pastor that wrote a blog, or if she was just talking about somebody that commented. I don't know what she was talking about in that. But she was saying that he said something about that men handle the hard things in life. And then she goes on to say, like, you know, basically how I guess a bunch of women attacked that comment. And she did too, when she said that, you know, a man's never given birth to a child. Don't tell me you do the hard things in life.
Yeah, and, well, once again, you do what you do to try to prove your point.
And,
you know.
And let me say that I can't comment on that. I would never diminish childbirth. It it is a very, very serious and a very painstaking process. I would never, any woman listening right now, I'm not diminishing that whatsoever, but that argument does has really nothing to do with what God says in the Bible. No. It has nothing to do with gender roles straight from God.
Let's talk about gender roles just a moment or two, you know, and those being within the direct ministry of the local church. Now, and I prefaced it that way. I want to keep this within the confines of the church. I'm not talking about, you know, special speakers out, you know, for special events. I'm not talking about
We're talking about.
But the Bible says here in the context, Paul gives this message to Timothy. He says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, and the idea there, the episkopos, the overseer, he desires good work, he must be blameless, the husband of one wife. So are you going to say that is an incorrect translation? I think that would be, you couldn't prove that. That could not be proven. And so what was Paul talking about that?
I think the Bible's pretty clear on it, and obviously a lot of people don't think he was clear, because there's many denominations that I believe are very legitimate Christians and are most certainly believers, and they allow women, you know, as their clergy, and you know, it's just not my viewpoint. I don't think that that's what the Bible teaches. Like you said, that, you know,
and we didn't say,
the husband
we didn't
of
say
one wife.
There was no opportunities for teaching.
Absolutely
the
not.
Word. We said the overseer.
The
that's
overseer.
Very specific right
I
there.
Think the Bible
the
is
bishop,
very.
The overseer.
I part. Think the Bible is very specific on men having those roles and for a distinct purpose. And it is the symbolism and it is the metaphor of Christ and his bride. And there's a lot of different reasons that we need to go into, but for the sake of tonight, we don't have time to. But there's Genesis 3 to deal with, where, you know, a woman's desire is against man. There's things that's a heavy verse to even just bring up in passing, but it is it's something that needs to be talked about. There's a lot of aspects of the curse that we need to talk about, and it can't be shored up in one conversation for sure, but it's a very real issue for us today, and it's something that we have to address, and we will address at one point or another in our lives.
Right. Now, you know, we understand the church's response to this from the pulpit being that, you know, women are celebrated and loved and cherished, but, you know, how do we, from an apologetics perspective, fellas, how do we articulate this in the culture that we live in to people who may not be familiar with a church culture? How do we, I guess the word is, how do we really explain this, that we are counterculture to that fact because we believe what God says, but to the person who doesn't believe the Bible, really, we have to show them that we believe that. So how do we articulate it to them?
Matt, what I said to you a while ago cuts both ways, okay? Now, the other way it can cut is we in our fundamental churches must be very careful that we say exactly what Jesus says. We say exactly what the apostles say. We don't go with, per se, what we're going to call tradition.
Mm.
You know, our tradition says, no, we want to say exactly what did the apostle actually say right here. Now, I think he was extremely plain in reference to the overseer, all right? But that leaves a lot of ground open for ministry for women in the church.
Yeah, and to touch on a subject here, what I think is another focal point of the matter is that I think a lot of argumentation comes from one standpoint, and it's justice. I think a lot of people want to argue from a justice standpoint. Well, that's just not just. God wouldn't do that because that's not justice. And I've seen, not just on this issue, I've seen a lot of preachers, a lot of teachers try to explain justice into the equation around a lot of issues, and it ends up just being what your idea of justice is. And Kathy Keller, who's the wife of Tim Keller, who just stepped down as the senior pastor at Redeemer Presbyterian, but in New York, but she's written on this. He's written on it. Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. Wayne Grudem's another source that you could check out. There's a lot of if you look at anything from Rachel Held Evans, she's going to bring up John Piper a lot because he's wrote a lot on it, books on it. But she says some very, very poignant stuff here. She says on it's also an article on thegospelcoalition.org, justice in the end is whatever God decrees. And she's saying this because the topic has come up that gender is not primarily an issue of justice. It's a theological one. And she's making this distinction that justice in the end is whatever God decrees. And she writes, so whether or not you are able to see justice in divinely created gender roles depends largely on how much trust you have in God's character. That's a heavy statement. And that's coming from a woman who's a pastor's wife for a long time. And she also starts talking about trust. And this goes along with people's arguments for justice and trusting God. You have to trust what he says in his word. And she says, if trust must be earned, hasn't God unequivocally earned our trust with the bark on his raw wounds, the thorns pressed into the brow, your name on his cracked lips? And if God can be trusted, then gender roles, with all of God's gift to human beings, are to be rejoiced in and enjoyed, not endured and resented. That's some great points from her. And that right there is the complementarian attitude that we're talking about today that I can say for myself, I would line up with on this point.
You know, a summary thought for myself, I think it's extremely important that we pursue the path of a biblicist, that we stay close to what the original intent is, the scriptures. It seems like everything in our society is changing. And I think that people really, really want to know the Bible. Mm-hmm. The Bible, the first century, what was Jesus saying? What was he teaching? What's God's will? What's God's plan? And not try to go out, Nathan, and reinvent it, reinterpret it. Well, it's been 2,000 years and we've missed it for 2,000 years. This is what God really meant to say. Mm-hmm. No, no.
Yeah.
No, I think it's very plain. He made them male and female, and those roles are complementary to each other.
They are, and just for a clarification statement from me, I guess, on my point of view, I would in no wise, you know, diminish a woman's role in ministry. It is extremely important, and there is so much that a woman can do and function as in a
Amen.
Church.
Sure.
And I just happen to think a pastor is not one of them. That's my only qualification there. But I mean, you've got verses like, and this discussion in and of itself, but Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 talking about women not speaking in church. Now, you know, you've got a lot of people that take that and, you know, take it out of context and run with it. And I don't think that means no speaking whatsoever. I don't think, and Pastor, I think you would agree. I don't think that means anything about praying. I think that was mainly towards prophesying. But I think, too, it's speaking as in public speaking from a point of authority. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about a woman just, you know, keeping quiet in church and then don't say a word until you get your husband in the car. You know, I mean, that's not
well,
how it is.
Paul wrote two letters to the church at Corinth.
Yes, he did.
And so I think there were some struggles there and some issues that had to be resolved. And so, yes, I think in that particular context right there, which is a context around speaking in tongues and those things that would happen in that environment. And I think he's basically saying that, you know, women, you're not to just, you're not to be the ones who are interpreting, judging the prophecy. Mm-hmm. That's a whole area, a whole realm that, you know, that we don't even want to go into tonight.
But I think it does have to be addressed in a short term. Because
I think it's like you said, it can't be your proof text.
Right.
Okay, all you women, you can't say a word in the house of God.
Right.
That is not what it is saying.
It cannot be.
I'm afraid that won't work.
Because I think you'll find that women held some pretty important roles throughout the whole Bible.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's a lot to be said about it, Matt, but I don't want anyone to walk away and think that I've diminished the women's role in ministry,
right?
Because I think there's a lot of different ways that can happen.
You know, I think about this thing that you said, you know, looking at church history as far as the woman's role and how they've played a role. We look at the last few years at how many Christians have been martyred.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on a lot of videos, you'll see,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, you'll see a lot of men that are brought to their knees and killed on video.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't tell you what happened to the women and the children.
Mm-hmm.
And those women that were Christians, that stood in front of their children, protected their children, stood behind their husbands who were Christians.
Standing for the cause of Christ.
Standing mm-hmm. for the cause of Christ. They play just as big as a role.
And that's a large part of it too. This is a view on marriage as much as it is theology. This is a view on how you function as a family. And that's why this is so important. That's why it isn't just about who can speak in church. It's about how you function as a complement to each other. Complement with an E to each other. You're a complete you. Amen. And I think it's very important that we remember that in this study that God, He created male and female, and that, you know, we both encompass a lot of different emotions and a lot of different attributes of God within each gender.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you said that about the marriage. As we begin to wind down, it's important that we remember that our marriages, we are a team. It's so easy in the business of life to say, well, you didn't do this, or you didn't do this, or I had this to do today, I had this terrible day, or I had to do this. No, we are a team.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy for Satan to get right in the middle and divide you because of whatever happened throughout your day. But at the end of the day, you are a team, and your children depend on the both of you to execute your roles in the home. And we can only do it with the help of the Holy Spirit, gentlemen.
Amen.
And this has been Ambassador Talks, where the conversation is outside the box, but we have dived deep inside the Word. Keep listening and join the conversation. Find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter, or you can contact us directly by email at ambassadortalks@gmail.com. We want to know your thoughts on this subject. How are you implementing these roles in your church and implementing these roles at home? And you got any questions about that, let us know. We'll do our best to answer, maybe even read some of these questions on the air.
And if you're the opposing view,
the opposing view, yes, let us know.
We're not saying you're not Christian.
Right. We want to talk to you. We want to talk and carry on a conversation. So thank you for listening to Ambassador Talks. We'll see you next week.